Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's time once again for a podcast. And today's guest is Derek Montgomery, and we're going to talk about the politics of personal relationships. So, Derek, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, Derek, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Derek Montgomery. Can't believe this is true, but I'm in my 13th year here
Wow.
at Classical Academy High School. I've, you know, had many roles at the high school. For a while, I was involved in the sports program, getting soccer up and running, coached the girls' team for a while. The past few years, my extracurriculars have been more geared towards the academic league team. And
okay.
I have quite a few clubs that I'm the staff advisor for, so I really have loved my 13 years. I still can't believe that's true. It's my 13 years at Classical Academy High School.
And you're a teacher.
I am a teacher, yes. I guess I should have said that. Yes, I teach in the social sciences, regular U.S. history and AP U.S. history. But we're also proud to be rolling out. Mr. Johnson, a colleague of mine, started the class. Well, we started together, but he taught the Bill of Rights class last year. I get to teach it for the first time this spring, so I'm looking forward to that
beautiful.
As well.
Great. New challenges and opportunities.
Yes, sir.
So you recently organized and were featured on a TEDx talk presented specifically on this topic, the politics of personal relationships. So what inspired you to address it, and why do you feel it's important right now?
Yeah, well, if I could back up a little bit, the club, the TED Ed club that worked on and put together the TEDx event, started last year during COVID. So
okay.
My talk in particular just came from my observations that there's a lot of cruelty out there, that the political divisions in the country are moving sometimes even beyond politics into social divisions.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who I relate in the talk, some examples from my personal life about people who have contributed to me in profound ways, have added to my life, have helped shape my character. And, you know, surprisingly, I didn't know their politics then or now. It doesn't really matter. So the talk, I'm essentially making the case that we should value our personal relationships just as much, if not more, than you know, temporary political issues or fights. I just kind of worry people are so willing to sacrifice personal relationships over these political principles that they're denying themselves some of the fruits that could come from personal relationships.
Sure, sure.
You don't know what's going to happen in the future. And just a desire to kind of push back against some of that cruelty, to stand up for, you know, how we talk to each other. And, you know, personally, I want to live in a society where people can respectfully disagree, because there will be disagreements.
Absolutely.
So how are we going to navigate those spaces in a way that, you know, we don't back down from our deeply held political principles,
right?
Mm-hmm. But we still maintain relationships and we care about our society in the future.
Well, and I like to say all the time that I completely align with everything you've said on this, and it's so important that it's okay to think differently. It's okay to be different. It's okay to have different values. It's okay to, you know, be a part of a different political party than your best friend. And but, you know, civility at the end of the day seems to be on life support these days. And we've taken it beyond you think differently to you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And it's just not responsible.
Yeah.
Not responsible at all. So, Derek, talk to us from a teacher perspective. So do kids in the classroom want to know where you're at politically? Do you share, hey, I'm this party or that party? And why is that good? Why would you do that? Why would you not do that?
Well, personally, where I come down on that is it's best to keep a teacher's personal political views out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I like to point out that really my job, nothing that I can find in my job or the way I conceptualize my job is about my own views or anything like that. My job is to challenge students to think critically. And I just worry that sometimes when teachers are so overt with their own views, and I know not every teenager, not every high schooler is as impressionable as the next, but some of them are impressionable. And I think it's important for us to help students navigate those spaces without unduly pushing them to one side. You know,
sure.
I often, and I kind of reference this in the talk, if you know, these are too important to force someone, not that we could even have the power to do that, but to kind of tell someone what to think, or, you know, like in the talk itself, people who, you know, just kind of yell at each other, either in person or through the computer. I question whether they've really even thought through what are you trying to accomplish here? Because I'm trying to accomplish with my class, you know, to create more critical thinkers, more respectful critical thinkers. So at the end of the day, honestly, I don't really care where they come down politically. I just want them to be engaged, to be active, to have reasons for voting the way they do.
Sure.
And to be, you know, uphold civil society, be respectful. We can be kind individuals. Yeah. I mean, it sounds, and I don't mean to, sometimes I could see some people maybe calling me a, you know, oh, Pollyanna, or, you know, you don't stand for, you know, like, and I'm not at all backing down from the need to have strong, deeply held political convictions. But my argument is that we can do that while maintaining and upholding personal relationships, to not, you know, go at someone so hard, or, you know, assume the worst in them. I think we've really stopped, to a large extent that worries me, giving each other the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are the values we all need to be reminded of, and what seems to be forgotten through this?
And again, it's so simple. It's stuff, I think, that we teach our kids when they're at the earliest ages, you know, to have compassion for each other, that all humans are worthy of dignity and should be treated in that kind of manner. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, mm-hmm. you know, like
the golden rule.
If you know, I think it's honest to say that nobody is going to walk through life and not regret something about their life, or not wish they had done something better. So the idea that, you know, we allow for people to express themselves, sometimes to even make mistakes, but to grow from that, because, you know, that mistakes are going to happen. Political disagreements are not new. They'll be there in the future. So it's not just having a strong political view, which is important, but how we treat each other, you know, to kind of lift up civil society while engaging, you know, in some of these, you know, politically divisive issues.
Sure. And I like to think about some of the things we learned in kindergarten we wish that adults would exercise today, you know,
yeah.
Taking care of each other. Just take care of each other.
And I think it's also, for me, I'm more interested in the long game, because, you know, as a teacher of U.S. history, I can look back at our national past at times where the political parties were very divided, right? We've been through a civil war. We've been through times when, you know, the parties were pretty far apart. But there's other times in our history where, although the political differences on policy issues might still be there,
sure.
There's been a little bit more coming together. Like, there's... I also think sometimes we don't hear as much of this kind of tone that I'm taking, you know, standing up for kindness and decency. We tend to hear, especially in kind of the media ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
the loudest, the shouters. And I'm trying to do my part.
The sound bites.
I'm trying to kind of push back against some of just the sound bites and the attack ads, and just kind of lift each other up. Doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. But
exactly.
If anyone could kind of think twice before they lash out at someone or ruin a personal relationship, then I'm glad I'll have, you know, done this work.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you touched on as an example in your TED talk was just the idea of public charter schools and how they are what they are. However, when people attack charter schools in maybe a social media aspect, it's so important about how you respond to those attacks. So talk to us a little bit about that with the examples you used.
Yeah, and really we could use any, you know, politically divisive issue or any issue that someone wants to make politically divisive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yes, in the talk I did reference, you know, I came up with a hypothetical where, you know, and imagine if you know, you're a deep believer in charter schools, in public charter schools, you know, a big advocate. And you know, you maybe your own son or daughter, maybe someone in your own family, maybe you personally deeply benefited from your experience at a charter school. So it is personal to you, right? Then you read online, you know, someone, maybe, you know, maybe a close friend of yours, maybe a longtime friend, maybe just kind of, you know, just someone on social media who you happen to be friends with, go say you read about them attacking public charter schools in a pretty harsh way. You know, there might be that instinct because of you, because of the fact that you personally benefited from them, to go pretty hard back at them. I'm just asking everyone to take a step back and think about what would be the best way to go about talking to that person. That's going to continue to hold your belief, that's going to continue to hold yourself, continue to uphold, you know, public charter schools in an honorable light. Because from where I sit, if you just went back at that anti-charter school person mm-hmm. with even more heat,
right?
My sense is you're going to push them to become an even bigger anti-charter school activist, right. Which I don't think, if you personally benefited from public charter schools, would be the best strategy. Like, I think we could play the long game. We could think a little deeper. We could be more strategic. And again, it's not to say you don't have a strong personal view or personal experience within public charter schools.
Sure.
If you want to create more of that opportunity for others to benefit the way you did, I'd urge you to think a little deeper, strategize. What would be the best way to go about maybe trying to get that person to see how it benefited you personally? The kind of going at someone so hard in a public forum, I just worry about the ramifications of that.
You used a key word as you gave us that description. You said talking. Ladies and gentlemen, get off social media. You know, have a conversation with somebody. And I will tell you, as being the leader of this organization for more than two decades, I've seen that chatter online. I've dealt with that as people have thrown stuff my way. What I've loved to do is to go into the messenger feature of, let's just say, social media and send that person a personal request. Love to have a conversation with you. You know, get off of the public space. You know, value an opportunity to actually talk to somebody. And I will tell you, over the years, a few people have engaged on that level with me, which has really, really, really been great. A lot of times you'll see they've read your message with no response. But your best take on this and your best opportunity is to reach out and value a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge.
Absolutely. You could, and like sort of you're suggesting, I think when you're in front of someone and you're looking them in the eye, there's a human there.
Mm-hmm.
They have family, they have kids, they have loved ones, they've been through experiences, they have emotions. I just sometimes fear that social media takes away some of that.
So absolutely.
It's just a name, or it's just more, it's not as personal. It's more, it feels a little more anonymous, but it's very real. Some of the effects on our society that come from the way we talk to each other over social media.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. So we've seen such an extreme division in our country, which you've mentioned, and do you think that people really can agree to disagree peacefully? And what do we need to do to nurture that, to make that happen?
I think absolutely people can, disagree civilly. I know they can. I've seen it as I've studied it in American history. And again, we're talking about very, very serious, very important issues that tie into people's deepest held beliefs that connect to their faith, their values. And I guess, you know, there is no silver bullet necessarily. There's so many influences, and I'm especially thinking about young people growing up, high schoolers, the world in which I live on a daily basis, media, social media. And so I guess part of this is just us adults. We have to step up with exercise our responsibility in a more, you know, respectful way. They're watching us. We're mm-hmm. modeling behaviors. And if they see they see the attack, they see the cruelty, they see I think also there is a degree of humility all of us could exercise, myself included. I'm not above this. I always need to practice these things as well and work on growing these things. But, you know, even if I disagree politically with someone about something, that doesn't mean at all they don't have something to teach. I can learn. There's something I can learn there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have, we, none of us as individuals should think we have all of the answers and we know everything. I personally just try to walk through the world in a way where I'm constantly learning. And again, it's not easy. We're all going to fail sometimes. I'm not, trying to paint this perfect, life's not utopia. We're going to make mistakes. But also some of what I'm talking about is, when you do make that mistake, you can go about, asking for forgiveness in a kind way.
Well, I think the other thing too is when you walk into a conversation in pretty much every topic, if you come in from a vantage point, what can I learn today? You know, what I'm going to speak to you today. So what can I learn from this conversation? We may not agree politically. We may not agree on our faith. We may not agree on our life experience, but still to your point, I can learn something. So how do you nurture or promote or even model discourse for kids in your classroom? Do you create those opportunities for them to have different points of view and to share those? And
well, especially when it comes to my classroom, I think it, from the very beginning, I try to set an atmosphere, create an environment of respect, of honor. A lot of it comes from some of the culture that some of the leaders set above me. But yeah, in each of our own classrooms as teachers, we do have a lot of control over the culture that's set. And before we get into any of the, you know, American history or, you know, talk about anything content-wise, it's important that students know that I value all of their voices. I constantly assert the same thing I've said here, that it's not – I really honestly don't care how they vote. I'm more interested in the fact that they do care about our country, mm-hmm. that they do get engaged. They have reasons for voting the way they do.
Right.
To go about it in a thoughtful way and and kids respond to that. Like, I haven't had as many, you know, like the attacks in my classroom. I think part of it, and this is just saddens me a bit, is a lot of it's coming from us, the adults.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
If any of us, all of us in our own way, myself included, kind of take steps towards creating that more respectful, you know, generous, like society, let's listen to each other. So not be so eager to just make our points. Politics will be divisive. I mean, we're not always going to agree. So if we sit with that for a second, then how do we want to walk through that space?
Sure.
I guess I'm just asking for people in their own way to think about that question, answer that in a more thoughtful way.
And I think something really practical to do is to go to your social media and basically go to your personal page and flip back over 2 weeks worth of postings. If you're somebody who's posting on a regular basis, are you using your platform for good? Are you complaining about the world? Are you bad-mouthing an organization, a candidate, an individual, or a government, whatever? How are you using your platform for good? And are you modeling great behavior for those that are in your sphere around you, whether that be your own children in your home, whether that be the community that you're working in, whether that be the organization that you're with? I think that's huge. So just, you know, go back over 2 weeks worth of your postings and find out, are you being positive on purpose or are you just a negative person? You know, there's always something wrong with the world.
And if I could follow up on that, one of the sort of challenges, as that much of a cliche it is for a TED Talk, one of the challenges I have in that TED Talk, that sort of the basis of what we're discussing here, was I encourage people to practice radical kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's even more needed when you find yourself disagreeing deeply about a particular topic. So like you just mentioned, if someone listening goes back a couple weeks through their social media and finds that they said something, they lashed out, there's something they're not proud of, it might be worth reaching out. If
taking that to the next level.
Yeah, and if you get into a space again where you feel that coming on in person or through social media, if you can just, you know, maybe put that to the side for the moment, play a little bit of the longer game, just show that person kindness. Again, that doesn't mean you agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, that's when it's needed the most, is when you do disagree in serious, serious ways. I think we'd all
and
be
who
happier.
Hasn't been in the heat of the moment and then 24 to 48 hours later go by and you do feel a sense of regret just going, what was I doing? I was all caught up in the emotion. I might have been hurtful. And ladies and gentlemen, go back to that post and actually maybe even update to say, you know, I've thought about this over the past 48 hours. What I posted before, I regret, you know, hey, hope you enjoy the rest of your week, or even send that person a private message to say, gosh, I screwed up, and that's why I went back to your post and actually deleted my comment because, frankly, I was wrong to act that way and say those things, and yeah.
And just as we'll all need forgiveness at some point in our lives,
yep.
We can extend that to others.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Derek, is there any other advice you have to really renew social virtue or civil virtue in our modern society?
I mean, let's take care of each other. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Let's lift each other up. You know, again, it is a responsibility for all of us to vote, to mm-hmm. think about these. This is not to back down from politics. or hard issues. It's just to step back and think about how we want to have those conversations. At the heart of it, I do make the case that personal relationships are more important than public policy.
Absolutely.
And that's a pretty bold thing to say, but that's where I've landed personally. I think if we all just sought to maintain personal relationships to the extent we can, our society and us as individuals will be better for it.
Absolutely. Let's love each other first and dialogue through it all. So, Derek, thank you so much for your time with us today.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.